Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. On today's show, we are opening the lines to share resources. How can we support each other during this time? And if you need resources or emotional support, we will do our best to find them. Maybe if we don't have the answers, maybe listeners do, and we can just let each other know what is needed and what is available. And we really also thought it was time to just how are you doing? If you need anything, if you want to give a shout out to a community resource, or if you've come up with creative ways to support people in your community, we would love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. We know that so many of you have lost your jobs. A lot of you are small business owners. I have actually heard from a few sole proprietors over the last few days. And a lot of you are just wondering what you are going to do to get through this. So hopefully we can help each other during this hour. We are kicking off today's show by talking about resources for the undocumented community. Millions of undocumented people who have lost their jobs will not get any help from the federal government. So joining us to talk resources is Veronica Chavez. Veronica works on the workers' rights team that oversees the Oakland Undocumented Relief Fund. That fund was created by Centro Legal de la Raza to provide support to immigrant workers in Oakland who've lost their jobs and income as a result of the COVID-19 crisis. Hi, Veronica. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Veronica. Can you give us a sense of what is happening in the undocumented community? What are you hearing from people?
Yeah, this is a very uncertain time. People are frustrated at the fact that they've either lost their jobs, have had their hours cut. This is a really scary time where people are finding it very difficult to obtain some sort of compensation and money.
Now, we did a show about the $2 trillion bill that was signed last week, and undocumented immigrants will not get anything for that. What about the state and local levels? And I'm not talking about like GoFundMe campaigns, but are state and local governments providing any kind of relief for undocumented people?
Yeah, unfortunately, there isn't much. Recently, about 75 orgs, including Centro Legal de la Raza, joined together to send a letter to the governor and the state legislature in hopes that they would implement some sort of disaster relief fund. So a few asks are that they make undocumented immigrants also eligible for unemployment insurance, because as you know, unfortunately, they are not. We've also requested that $10 million go towards organizations that can help with cash benefits to provide groceries, additional money for families that are finding it difficult to find relief at this time. And a couple of other...
Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, and a couple of other options in hopes that, you know, there will be changes to things that can provide, you know, tax relief, for instance.
I have a friend who is a first grade teacher, and most of her students have parents who are undocumented, and she's trying really hard to get them tablets so they can take part in online learning. And she's finding that a lot of them are very scared to share information or speak out. What are you hearing from people? Is there more fear in the community now because of ICE and what we're seeing at the federal level?
I think there is a bit of a raised fear. I think undocumented immigrants aren't sure of what sort of benefits are out there. You know, even for instance, they're scared to even ask questions sometimes, but fortunately they are able to turn to organizations such as ours. And we are informing them that at this time while they can't get unemployment insurance, for instance, there is sick time that's available, hopefully. And if people become ill, we kind of talk about the options. Like if you become ill at work due to being exposed to the virus, there's potentially workers' comp. The issue is, of course, people are worried of obtaining any sort of benefit, and even those are limited at this time because of their status, because there is often retaliation from employers, threats from employers that they will call ICE, so that in trying to obtain benefits, they would be putting themselves at risk. But we do encourage folks right now that, you know, whatever disaster relief you can obtain, to do so, because even USCIS has said or put out guidance that states that receiving this sort of assistance should not be an issue.
Let's talk about some of the organizations that are trying to provide relief. We did a lot of searching last night, and we'll put links on our website. I think that some of them are already there. There's informedimmigrant.com, and they have a whole list of resources for immigrants during this crisis. UndocuFund for disaster relief in Sonoma County. They did really incredible work during all the fires, and they are opening up another fund for people who've lost their jobs due to COVID-19. KQED has a very, very long list. And that piece is called New COVID Relief Benefits Leave Out Millions of Undocumented Immigrants. There's your site, which we have on our website. And then there's also the National Domestic Workers Alliance is putting together a coronavirus care fund. Veronica, obviously, it's very hard to just do all this research and, you know, piece things together. We were able to find a Google Doc called Relief Funds for Undocumented Workers in California, and this was put together by Legal Aid at Work. But to your knowledge, is there one place where people can go to find all of these resources?
I think that there's just so many out there, and organizations are really making efforts to compile everything in one document. I think that my recommendation would be maybe some, like, top three would be, as you said, on our website at centrolegal.org/COVID-19. You will find some of the documents you've actually mentioned now. There is a document that provides, you know, throughout California and even on the statewide level, places that you can turn to for relief. There's also, as you said, Legal Aid at Work is a good one. They have it at legalaidatwork.org/blog/relief funds. That includes the list that I think you've referenced. And the California Immigrant Youth Justice Assistance or Justice Alliance also has a really wonderful list that breaks down into different parts of California where you can try to obtain benefits and some relief.
And what are you hearing from undocumented immigrants who are still working? The LA Times put together an incredible video, Power California Farm Workers Affected by the Coronavirus. According to the LA Times, farm workers in California make about $26,000 a year. You know, as you know, we've done so many shows about this backbreaking work, very long days, and they're scared. They're scared about a possible outbreak on the farms. What are you hearing from workers who are still out there in the farms or, you know, in restaurants?
Yeah, I think what we mostly hear is workers are still working because they need to work. They're exposing themselves, unfortunately, even when employers aren't taking precautionary measures. And this is a critical time where everyone should be protected. So we recommend that workers talk with their employers and discuss, you know, Cal OSHA guidelines, especially there have been some recent ones in which if a person or if an employer identifies that the virus is a risk to their workers, they really should be implementing preventative measures. So we do recommend that the workers talk with their employers to try to resolve some of these things. But we understand that people are going to work because they need to get money. And as you mentioned, the wages are incredibly low. They're the most at risk. So we're really working hard to try to find ways of getting the word out that people should be speaking out about being protected during this time. And for those who are losing their jobs, we're trying to put together as many funds, as many benefits, lists, things that people can turn to.
And it's really hard, Veronica, for these workers. They said this in the LA Times farm worker video. Now that their kids are home, they're having a really hard time finding childcare.
Yeah, that's right. That is a reason why, again, while while there are benefits for other folks, we want undocumented folks to also have some sort of money coming in when they have their children stay at home. And that's part of our ask, I think, to the governor and the state legislature for Friday.
I also want to ask you about a PSA that is running. It says, U.S. Customs and Immigration Services announced that testing, prevention, or treatment for COVID-19 will not be used against immigrants in a public charge test. This means that immigrant families should seek the care they need during this difficult time. You can still see a doctor without medical insurance. Hospitals and healthcare spaces are safe to visit. What do you think about that, Veronica?
It appears that that seems to be true. We're encouraging folks to always consult with an immigration attorney or get some sort of immigration advice if they're able. But really, at this time, I think it's more important for, as I said before, if people are trying to receive disaster relief or medical care in this time, it appears, and USCIS has seemed to put out guidelines that say that people should feel safe doing so, even when they're undocumented.
Well, if you have any questions for Veronica, if you're undocumented, if you are connected to the undocumented community and there are any resources you want to share, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. And just really across the board, if you need any assistance or if you have any, if you know of any neighborhood groups or any people doing really good work right now and you want to give a shout out, we'd love to hear from you. We're going to stick with Veronica for a few more minutes. Veronica, we don't know how long this is going to last. So what, I mean, we talked about what's happening at the state level. 120 organizations are calling on Governor Newsom and the California legislature to designate emergency funding to support undocumented residents. What else needs to happen?
You know, as I said, other than the fund, I think there need to be some major changes here. Really, undocumented immigrants comprise like 70%, or I'm sorry, 2 million Californians. 70% of those have been in California for 10 years. They should be eligible for benefits like unemployment insurance. They should be able to get the California Earned Income Tax Credit. We need more changes so that the undocumented community is protected, not just in this time, but, you know, if that had been implemented previously, we wouldn't be seeing as great a need. I had also mentioned that, for instance, my organization has the Our Fund. We've already seen 700 applicants, and we know this has just been in a few days. We've collected maybe about 39,000, and we're hoping to get more donations, but the need is just so overwhelming because there's so much lacking for this community.
Mm. Well, Veronica, thank you so much for your work, and thank you for joining us. We'd love to have you back.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That is Veronica Chavez. Veronica works on the workers' rights team that oversees the Oakland Undocumented Relief Fund. And again, Legal Aid at Work has put together a great Google Doc that is full of information. It's called Relief Funds for Undocumented Workers in California. And we know this is needed across the country, but we did find this Google Doc for California. And so we will put a link to this on our website, yourcallradio.org. On today's show, we are opening the lines to find out just how you're doing, if there are resources that you still need. If you're working with a community organization or a nonprofit and you'd like to talk about the resources that you have available, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. And throughout the show, we'll be joined by a number of guests who are providing a variety of resources. Joining us now is Jay Salazar. Jay is with the Disability Justice Culture Club. That's an activist house in East Oakland designed with accessibility in mind, and it serves as a gathering place for people with disabilities and other groups via events, meetings, and meals. Hi, Jay. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Hanging in there. Jay, what are you hearing from people with disabilities? What do they need the most right now?
Right now, they need a lot of support with getting meals delivered, getting groceries, support picking up, medicines and things like that.
And how are you all connecting with people with disabilities? And what's the process involved in trying to get them what they need?
So right now we have Google document for people that are requesting services. You can find it at DJCC on Facebook or Disability Justice Culture Club. And right there is just a questionnaire of like resources you may be needing, how we can assist you. You fill out your information, and within the first 24 hours, we're contacting you and assigning you a person that is going to be helping you with all those resources. And that can be anywhere from light house cleaning to washing laundry or going to the store for you and things like that.
You also work with people, Indigenous people, people of color. What other needs are you hearing from community members?
Besides financial, we are hearing a lot of mental support. This situation is becoming harder and harder every day with the isolation and with not being able to access the resources that they would normally have in order to take care of themselves.
Well, since you brought up emotional support, I want to share a couple of numbers. If you are in California, Governor Newsom announced a new statewide hotline for anyone who needs assistance or has questions. And that number is 833-544-2374, 833-544-2374. The Mental Health Association of San Francisco has a 24-hour peer-run line for non-emergency emotional support, 855-845-7415, 855-845-7415. And then there's an organization called Safe and Sound, and they're running a 24-hour line for parents who might need support. That number is 415-441-KIDS, 415-441-KIDS. That's 5437. Jay, have you been able to find any other emotional support that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Right now we're trying to actually start some sort of emotional support that we can provide the people that we are helping. We're trying to find volunteers that are involved in the mental health
like people
network.
Who are therapists,
yeah.
Or counselors,
to volunteer and start setting up safety checks and pairing people up the way we're doing with the financial and other support so that they can have someone that can be checking on them every other day or things like that. So if anybody is willing to help, we also have a volunteer sign-up sheet. Right now we're working with 342 volunteers that are doing the work of, like I said, assisting other members of the community that are at risk for, that can be helping us do hand sanitizer. We're doing a scent-free hand sanitizer because we can't find it anywhere else. and taking it to encampments and taking it to elders that are more at risk. So if you want to volunteer for either one of those things, you can sign up at the volunteer spreadsheet that is also at Disability Justice Club on Facebook.
Okay, and so I found your group on Facebook, Disability Justice Club. Do you have a website also, or people have to go through Facebook?
Right now, we don't have a website. We're actually pretty new and have been dealing with a bunch of crises that are coming up in the Bay Area. For example, the power shutouts and all this. So we've been running on everything we have as of right now.
All right. Well, if you do not use Facebook, there is an email, and it's disabilityjusticecultureclub@gmail.com, disabilityjusticecultureclub@gmail.com. I also want to share a couple more phone numbers. The Domestic Violence Helpline, and this is really important as people shelter in place, that this hotline is from Nakira. This number is 800-215-7308. 800-215-7308. And if you'd rather text than call, there is a crisis text line. Just text the word home to 741-741. That's 741-741. And if you have any resources you would like to share, if you need any help, we'll do our best to try to get you some information. The number is 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org or tweet us at yourcallradio. We're joined by Jay Salazar. Jay is with the Disability Justice Culture Club. It's an activist house in East Oakland designed with accessibility in mind. Jay, what about helping people fill out all of these forms for benefits? Because we have been reading reports all week about how the unemployment line is constantly busy. It's really hard to get help. And anytime you have to fill out these forms, it can be a pretty stressful process. So how are you helping people with that?
Well, we can help people with that. Right now we are trying to follow certain protocols in order to keep our volunteers and our the people that are requesting help safe because of the social distancing and things like that. But if you need help, we can go to your house and help you fill it out, or we can do it over the phone. And assist you with any of that. Like I said, we're doing helping them get different resources and sign up for all of those things that are available right now.
Well, Jay, thank you so much for all of the great work that you're doing, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Jay Salazar is with the Disability Justice Culture Club, and if you need any resources, they are providing a lot of different things, helping people with groceries, house cleaning, helping them with applying for benefits online. So if you need any resources, or if you would like to volunteer, you can find their group online. It's Disability Justice Culture Club, and you have to go through Facebook. If you're not using Facebook, you can email disabilityjusticecultureclub@gmail.com. And they really emphasize helping people with disabilities, Indigenous people, and people of color. We're going to take a quick break. If you have any questions, if there are any resources you need, or if you know of any groups, if you're working with a group that is doing community outreach, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. We'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on KALW, a show that relies on engaged listeners. You can join today's conversation by calling 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. 8255, toll free. You can also post a comment or question on the website at yourcallradio.org or tweet us at yourcallradio.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Today we are sharing resources. If there's anything you need right now, give us a call and we will try to find help for you. Resources, emotional support. If you are working for an organization or a new community group and you'd like to let people know about it, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. There are a few things that I've come across over the last few days that are worth mentioning. Mon Ami is teaming up with the city of San Francisco. And if you'd like to make a phone call to someone who is socially isolated, this is a really great way to get involved. And that website is monami.io, monami.io. Or if you're isolated and, you know, maybe you don't want to just chat online. I completely understand that. Maybe you'd like to actually talk to someone. There are various resources out there that I've already mentioned, but to maybe, you know, strike up a friendship and talk to someone a couple times a week, Mon Ami is a good way to do that. I also wanted to mention, let's see here. Governor Gavin Newsom in California announced a new statewide hotline for anyone who needs assistance. That number is 833-544-2374. The state has also created California Health Corps, and they are recruiting medical professionals to prepare for a possible surge of patients in California. You will be paid for this. You will also get vouchers for housing near hospitals and clinics and vouchers for childcare if you need it. You can find information at covid19.ca.gov/healthcare. I'm sorry, Health Corps. covid19.ca.gov/healthcare. And we will put links to all of these resources on our website, yourcallradio.org. We're just juggling a lot of things during this hour. Let's take a few calls and then we'll go to our next guest. Let's hear from Raul in Novato. Hi, Raul. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I'll take you off speaker. So I've been concerned here for a while because I, like many people, buy things that are being shipped to me, and I know internet commerce is exploding even more during this period. So my question is, national delivery services, UPS, FedEx, Amazon does it now, and heaven forbid, the Postal Service, if someone got infected in one of their facilities, mm-hmm. and they're going to every single house and it's spread throughout them. So I'm wondering, why wouldn't they be given frontline priority to have that protection, not to spread the virus?
Okay, well, this is a good question, and a lot of people have been wondering about this. I want to read an article from CNET, and it's called Coronavirus and Your Packages, What to Do with Your Deliveries and Mail. And let's see here. Who's the author? Katie Connor writes, right now, there's really no answer to these questions, and here's why. The CDC says there is very low risk for the coronavirus to spread from packages that have traveled over a period of days. The WHO notes that it's very unlikely for a package to be contaminated after being exposed to different conditions, and therefore the risk of a person contracting the virus from the package is considered low. Viruses like the ones going on now have been found on surfaces for up to 9 days. However, the current knowledge is that it's safe to order takeout and groceries. According to the FDA, there is no evidence of the virus being transmitted through food or packaging, but it will not hurt for you to take extra precaution. And this means, you know, obviously washing your hands for at least 20 seconds. And there's also a video of a chef online who is just says, try not to bring the packaging inside, maybe open the box outside and then bring what is in it in your home and just give it a wipe off. So that's the best I can say. And again, we just really want to cite data from the CDC, the WHO, and doctors and scientists. So thank you for that phone call, Raul. I hope that helps. Let's go next to Alicia in Berkeley. Hi, Alicia. Welcome to the show.
I just wanted to give some resources for food. The Berkeley Food Network at 1925 9th Street in Berkeley is has pantries of food. Like, they'll give you a grocery bag of food between Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and Monday through Wednesday for between 5 and 7 p.m. and the first and third Saturdays 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. They only serve Berkeley and Albany residents, but if you're in Alameda County, you can call 510-635-3663 or visit foodnow.net to find out where you can go for your particular town. If you're in Contra Costa, you can call 1-855-309-3663 or visit foodbankcs.org/gethelp/foodbycity. Excuse me, Food by City. And if you think you might be eligible for CalFresh, you can go to getcalfresh.org to find out how to apply. And then I just wanted to make one more appeal to people who have some kind of domestic worker who's undocumented to continue to pay them even if they can't come to your house. That's what I'm doing for as long as I'm able. And I just think it's really important to support folks who are unable to get any kind of government help.
Yeah, this is such a good point. If you're still getting a paycheck or if you can, to keep paying people, and, you know, maybe in when we're through this, they'll, you know, do the service for free. In fact, I called my hairdresser, the person who cuts my hair, and she already left the state because she just couldn't make ends meet. She had to go live with family in Texas. And I called her saying, can I pay for a couple haircuts in advance just to give you some cash flow? So this is, I'm so glad you called in with this, Alicia. If there are any creative ideas that you've come up with to try to support people in your community and in your circle, we'd love to hear from you. This is a great idea that if you're still getting a paycheck or if you're doing well right now, to maybe offer people around you that you have some kind of contact with, a hairdresser, a domestic worker, what have you, maybe pay them for 3 months of services or three haircuts if you can afford that, just so they've got some cash flow. So thank you for that, Alicia. Great, great idea. Let's go next to Amy from San Francisco Golden Gate Opportunity. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. It's Amy Everett, president of Golden State Opportunity. And I just wanted to share some resources that are available for low-income workers. In order to receive the stimulus check, you need to file your taxes for 2018 or 2019. And in addition, if you make under $30,000 in California or under $56,000 for the federal, you also qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit. And this Earned Income Tax Credit can get you a refund of up to $8,000. But the trick with that is you also have to file your taxes. So GSO is working to create digital online free tax assistance for low-income workers who qualify to help you do your taxes, get them filed so that you can receive not only your stimulus check but probably a much more sizable earned income tax refund. If you go to CalEITC.me, you'll be able to see a list of resources and also places to go to register to help you with your taxes.
Amy, do we know how many people qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit who are not getting it?
You know, in California, I know that there are millions of people who are eligible but do not file for it. And one of the reasons for that is that they're not aware of it, or they don't make enough money to have to file their taxes, so they don't. And so part of this is trying to make sure folks realize that even if you didn't make enough or you owe taxes, you will probably qualify to get money back. Last year, we advocated with a governor to expand the California EITC, and it's now $1 billion. And so there's $1 billion waiting to be collected or claimed by low-income workers. In addition, if you have a child who is under the age of 6 in 2019, you also qualify for a $1,000 young child tax credit. The only trick is you have to file your taxes.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Amy. This is really important information to get out. Again, the website's goldenstateopportunity.org and calleitc4me.org.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Amy, for your great work. In fact, we'd love to have you back, you know, in the near future to really talk about benefits, food stamps, a lot of things that are available for people, yet they either don't know it's there or they just haven't signed up. So we'll definitely have
you back. Yeah, I'd be more than happy to talk about that. And all of those resources are also available on our websites.
Okay, great. Thank you for your great work, Amy.
Thanks, Rose. Thanks for this great show today.
Thank you. And we will put all of these links and phone numbers, I know it's a lot, on our website. In fact, we're trying to put a Google Doc together for the station overall, so that way all of the resources that we're mentioning throughout these last couple of weeks will be available for you to find in a very easy way. We've got an email from someone who's working with Soma West Cares, Deborah, and she wanted to point out that in Coal Valley, San Francisco, they're doing really great work trying to reach people with flyers for people who are low tech and who have high needs, who do not have computers. They're doing a lot of outreach, helping people get things from the hardware store, pet care, vet runs, people with disabilities. And the contacts, if you're in Coal Valley, it's Erica Lenkert, and that number is 415-754-0560. 415-754-0560. Deborah says they've been operating for 2 weeks and they've already served 50 calls. Wow, that's amazing. Thank you so much for that. Let's go to another caller. Let's hear from Frank, who is with the Sunset Neighborhood Help Group. Hi, Frank. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. So, Frank, I understand that you have done some incredible work in this inner Sunset trying to get groceries and other things to people in need. Can you tell us about that?
Well, it was the oddest thing. There was a post on Facebook from a woman I didn't know, and she wanted to know what she could do for people, and I suggested that she start a Facebook group. And I'll be darned, the next day I got an invitation to join this Facebook group. And within the first day, we had over 100 members. We're now approaching about 1,500 people. Most of those are on the website to volunteer. So we started canvassing the entire Sunset, which is over 30,000 households, with flyers, both in English and in Chinese. And we now have an intake group of about 6 or 7 people. We're about to double that because of the need. So we triage every call that comes in, and we offer every service that we can possibly offer to people.
What are you hearing from people, Frank?
Well, you know, there's an endemic problem here that we've run into that was here before the virus, will be here afterwards, and that is isolation and hunger. So our biggest thing right now is trying to get food to people, both by offering shoppers for them and by working with local food pantries to take their leftover food and try to get that to people in need. Also, to get people signed up to the various services that are available for food in the area.
And for other people who would like to start these neighborhood groups, Frank, what lessons have you learned? What's the best way to be most effective and reach the most people?
Well, as I said, we are handing out the flyers, which got us the biggest response. The other thing is, if you're on a Facebook page, be encouraging. Share your successes. If you're delivering a package to someone, food to someone, take a photo of that delivery. Put that on there because it's inspiring, and people will get on that train as fast as they can.
Frank, if people are in the Sunset, how can they reach your group?
We have a number, 415-212-8770. If they would like to be on the Facebook page, they can simply go to sunsethelpers.org, and that'll do it.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your great work, Frank, and I'm glad to be connected. Thanks for calling in.
Appreciate your time. Thank you. Good day.
Thank you. Today, we are opening the lines to share resources. If there's anything you need, please give us a call. If you're running a community organization that is providing help, food, tasks, help with financial benefit information, any of these things, we'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Now I would like to welcome Eve Xavier, Neighborhood Services Program Manager of the nonprofit organization, the Richmond Neighborhood Center in San Francisco. Hi, Eve. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. We're also joined by Alexis Cook, a team member with the Freedom Community Clinic, a community healing center that offers services to communities across the Bay Area. All of their services are free and or at a sliding scale. They've compiled a shared Google Doc called the Bay Area COVID-19 Mass Resource List. It is also available in Spanish. Hi, Alexis. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Well, Alexis, I just have to say, I've been giving updates on KALW in the mornings, and your Google Doc has been such an amazing resource for me. I thank you for putting that together. It's really incredible. Alexis, what are you hearing from community members? What are the needs right now?
I think kind of similar to some other calls you had earlier, I think people have, you know, food needs and financial needs, and, you know, we're at the top of the month, and so people are concerned about paying rent long-term, especially since our stay order got extended. So I think there's some very real, like, material needs that people have, and then just figuring out how to sift through information.
What about you, Eve? What are you hearing from the clients you serve with the Richmond Neighborhood Center?
Yeah, really similar to what Alexis was saying and almost all of your callers. Food insecurity is a top concern. Housing insecurity is a top concern. And then the safety of these participants who come to us, who now have to come much further than they're used to due to school closures, where we typically run our food programs to serve a greater portion of the neighborhood. These folks are now having to decide whether they want to get on a bus, whether they're wanting to walk, and 90% of whom we serve are seniors. So these are not easy choices for people, and they're really having to decide between risking some health issues to come and get food that they desperately need.
Can we spend some time talking about food? Because I was watching a video from KCRA about people in Sacramento who were going to the Salvation Army to get food, and there was such a long line of cars. More than an hour. And then I just saw another video out of Pittsburgh at a food bank. Huge. I mean, it looked like more than a mile, a line of cars for people waiting to get food. So, Eve, can you tell us just what's going on with the distribution supply? How are organizations getting the food that is so desperately needed right now?
Yeah, so we did have to do a bit of a programmatic redesign quickly to make sure that folks were not congregating. We serve about 900 people throughout the week in our food programs, and typically to, I think it was your caller Frank earlier, who was saying that isolation is such a big issue for the senior population across the world, let alone in our neighborhood in the Richmond district. And so one of the big appeals was coming and gathering with folks, and we really had to think quickly, like, how do we stop this so that people don't congregate? And we were able, with our incredible group of staff and volunteers, to think on our toes, and we are now moving people through our lines very, very quickly. We're pre-packaging food, handing it to folks, and they're getting in and out. There is a bit of a line, especially on Thursday, so later today we serve about 400 people. And so that one can sometimes peel around the block, but we're keeping folks within 6 feet. And nothing has changed with our delivery from our partners at the San Francisco Marin Food Bank. They still deliver us the right amount of food. If anything, we've seen an increase in interest and demand from neighbors and families from our public schools that we serve as well, who are coming to look for more food options.
And with the demand so high, Eve, can you just talk about how groups are going to continue getting the food in the first place? Do you have any concerns about the food supplies?
Not at the moment, no. Our food programs are a partnership with several different organizations. Where we get our food is from the San Francisco Marin Food Bank, and they've given us no indication that there's any worry about a lack of food supply. So, no, at the moment, there's no worry on that front.
Wow, well, that's great to hear. Alexis, what would you add when it comes to ensuring that people have the food that they need?
I think kind of similar to what you've said, it's how do people get to the food resources that are available. Since people may not have cars or may be isolated or may just be fearful about leaving, I think there's been some groups who've come up with some interesting strategies to bring people the food, like to get food delivery or bring people food directly in some ways. So it's kind of like a resource disconnect as people are isolating.
We should also mention, and this is really important, Eve, there was a piece in Eater a few weeks ago called Coronavirus Has Made Tackling Food Insecurity in the Bay Area Far More Difficult. And Michael Altfest, director with the Alameda Community Food Bank, said that just a few weeks ago, 50% of helpline requests came from new callers. These are people who've never sought food assistance before.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing a similar trend. We haven't been overwhelmed yet. We still, for our programs, only serve the Richmond District, so area codes 94118 and 94121. So, you know, we try not to turn anyone away, but we do have some boundaries and limits in that respect. Anyone who is interested in food, though, in the city of San Francisco can call the San Francisco Marin Food Bank at 415-282-1900, and they can direct you as to where you can get food in your neighborhood and whatnot.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Alexis, with the Freedom Community Clinic, what are some of the other services that you're all offering?
So we have been offering just like our resource list mostly. We've been updating that, and so that covers kind of a range of different things from educational resources to food, emergency funds, and then we also have resources for a specific group such as unhoused folks, emergency grants for people who are unhoused or unsheltered, and including some domestic violence resources for people who use drugs or who might be sex workers or folks in kind of unsafe situations. And we also have a bunch of different mental health resources, including some holistic mutual aid lists and some self-care strategies that people can do to manage stress in isolation.
And what's the best way for people to reach you, Alexis, that you're offering such important resources?
So the resource list is available online. It's a Google Doc that anybody can access, and that's at tinyurl.com/Bay Area COVID-19 help. And then people can also email us if they have specific questions or resources that they'd like us to share out, and that's you can just email us at info@freedomcommunityclinic.org.
Great. And you also, do you also run the Freedom School for Intersectional Medicine and Health Justice?
No.
They're not connected to you. Okay. But you do highlight them. This sounds like an amazing resource.
Yes.
It's for people of color and women of color. It's the Freedom School for Intersectional Medicine and Health Justice, and many services are offering free or sliding scale support.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. We have an email from Lucy. Lucy writes, I'm organizing our local Bay Area motorcycle groups to provide a delivery network for the supplies and finished product. We're geared up and ready to deliver. We have over 30 volunteers who are willing to cover the entire SF Bay Area from Stinson to Sacramento to Santa Cruz, and the possibility of reaching farther with mostly motorcycles, but also a few trucks and vans. If we can help you deliver your donations, please fill out our request. Wow, this is really amazing, Lucy. People are going to be delivering on a motorcycle. So this is a Google Doc, which we will put on our website. And I just wrote Lucy back to see if I can share her number. I don't want to give it out without her permission. This is really amazing. Thank you so much, Lucy. Let's take a couple calls. I think we have time for one or two more. Let's go to Maria from Mission Dolores. Hi, Maria.
This is Erica.
Oh, hi. Sorry, Erica. Go ahead.
What do you mean?
Erica calling from Coal Valley Core. Hi.
Yeah.
We only have about 30 seconds left. Can you just let us know what you're providing and how people can get in touch?
Sure.
Great. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Sorry about that. So we're Coal Valley Cares. We started out helping the Coal Valley community. There are about 100 volunteers. But we've grown outside of our boundaries as well because so many people need help. But we're helping to deliver groceries for people, pick up medications. We've even done things like computer tech help and running errands for people who are at risk and uncomfortable being out in the community. And we also have translators in 31 languages.
Wow. What are the needs from the people you're hearing from?
You know, it's mostly people who are uncomfortable being in public places, who mostly need grocery pickup, you know, their medications. I am finding also that some people are just very anxious and lonely. So we have started working with a mental health professional to kind of get trained on how to just be a phone buddy. We got the idea from the Sunset Neighborhood Help Group, who we've been talking a lot and working a lot and sharing our learnings with them. There's a human need, and there's just essentials as well. And we want to be sure to support everybody as best we can.
And if people are in the Coal Valley neighborhood of San Francisco, how can they get in touch?
They can go to the Coal Valley Cares Facebook group. They can also email at cvc94117@gmail.com. And then we also have a phone number, which is 415-754-0560.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much for the work you're doing, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Eve Xavier, Neighborhood Service Program Manager with the Richmond Neighborhood Center, thank you so much for all the great work that you're doing, and thank you for joining us.
No problem. Thank you, Rose.
Alexis Cook is a team member with the Freedom Community Clinic. Alexis, thanks for your great work, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And again, just to share a couple of phone numbers, the Mental Health Association of San Francisco has a 24-hour peer-run line for non-emergency emotional support. It's 855-845-7415. Safe and Sound runs a 24-hour line for parents, 415-441-5437. And we will hopefully have a Google Doc that is ready by maybe Friday or Monday, so we could put all of this information in it so we can share resources. Thanks to Leah Cesarine for producing today's show and Kevin Vance, who is line producing for us. Thank you so much, Kevin. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.